Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Really?
Well, everybody's heard about the bird.
This is about birds, so to speak. 720 WGN. I'm John Landecker, and the secret word for today is ornithological. Is that correct, Edward Warden? Did I say it correctly?
I think you nailed it.
Thank you. Because the first time out, I did not. And Tom, good old what's-his-face Hush, had to correct me on the air. Where does that name come from, by the way? Just.
Oh, geez, you're putting me on the spot for my high school linguistics there. It's definitely an older term.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it comes from Latin.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to throw you a curveball. I've just been doing my ornithological thing. And you are the president of the Chicago Ornithological Society, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. So we want to talk about the piping plover. The piping plover. Piping plover pair. Would that be correct?
Correct, yeah. Say that three times fast.
Well, that's, yeah. Thank you. So this is a pair of birds who are piping plovers. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
All right. So what's the story? What's going on?
Well, the story is, first and foremost, you have to understand that piping plovers are an endangered species.
Yes.
There's only about 70, give or take the year, 70 pairs of piping plovers anywhere in the entire Great Lakes. So you can imagine with numbers that low, every bird counts.
Yeah.
And normally they go to fairly remote places like some like Sleeping Bear Dunes in Michigan, remote national parks, areas that are pretty secluded and by themselves. But back in 2019, these two birds that were later dubbed Monty and Rose after Montrose, the street, decided for whatever reason to show up in Chicago at one of the busiest beaches in one of the busiest cities on the Great Lakes. And it was a shocker to everyone. Nobody saw it coming. And for now 3 years in a row, they have chosen Montrose as the place for them to come every summer and lay their eggs and raise their families, which is truly remarkable.
What is it about? Do you have any clue as to why Montrose every year? I mean, I've heard of homing pigeons and birds going back, you know, traveling half the world to get to something to migrate to. That's wild. Does this normally happen along the lakefront? I mean, the birds use the lakefront as a delivery room? I mean, what? or is this really, I mean, it's unusual for this type of bird, but is it an unusual for the bird world to use Montrose and the other part of the lakefront as a place to build their homes and start a family?
No,
so to speak.
Not at all, actually.
Really?
So first and foremost, the Great Lakes are part of what are known as a migratory flyway.
Cool.
We're sitting, and as Chicago, we're sitting right here, kind of a big funneling point for all these birds moving their way north during spring and south during fall, during migration. So right off the bat, we already have millions of birds every year that are moving up and down the lakefront as a superhighway. Then add to that, there are several birds, different species of birds where, you know, the Great Lakes, that is their home,
right.
Especially these groups called shorebirds, these, you know, things we think of that run along the beach and feed on, you know, insects and other kinds of tasty morsels, you know, along the surf or the waterfront. And these piping plovers are part of that group of birds. So they specialize in taking advantage of, you know, these beaches and shorelines and things like that.
Well, you and other volunteers have taken it upon yourself to go the extra mile to protect this pair. What are some of the things that you're doing to do that?
A lot of just sitting and watching. And it sounds like, you know, the easiest job in the world, but a big part of it is just, you know, in this extreme urban environment where, you know, these birds have a lot of potential threats, mm-hmm. so much of it is just sort of remaining vigilant, whether that's, you know, watching for a bird of prey like a falcon to come through, which might threaten right. them. Or a stray dog, or a frisbee, or a volleyball—you name it. Any number of things that could potentially, you know, harm these birds and harm their nest. It really kind of runs the whole gamut from the mundane to the wild to the people caused. And what these monitors are doing out there is looking for all of these things. They're right. just keeping an eye out for predators or obstructions or anything that could potentially hurt these birds in their nest.
No, go ahead.
No, it's a fantastic way to kind of get out there and not only, you know, make a difference for these individuals, but really get to spend all the time out there and, you know, engage with the people who are actually also there at Montrose. I mean, it's a massively popular beach. Yeah. People are coming through all the time and most of them are not aware of these, you know, two birds sticking it out, trying to, you know, live their lives here on this busy beach. And, you know, we find that people love it. It's such a fantastic, easy to access store. And so that's another big part yeah. of what our volunteers are doing out there is just being great ambassadors.
I read that the volunteers are watching over the nest from about 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in 2-hour shifts, 7 days right, yeah. a week. Wow.
Yep.
Okay. I got a question. So sure. reading about these birds, Rose and Monty, right?
Yep.
So Rose, it said Rose spent the winter in Florida and Monty was in Texas.
Yep, that's well, correct.
Why? Why didn't they hang out? I mean, is this a I don't get it. Were they? Why would these birds who keep coming here to, you know, produce offspring suddenly split and head to entirely different parts of the country?
Well, you know, even the people we love the most, sometimes we need a little bit of distance from them.
Good answer. Yes, totally get it. I totally get it.
But that aside, you know, there's a lot about these birds that even as well studied as they are, we can track their entire life histories based on, you know, unique bands that we give them.
Yeah.
There's still a lot that we don't fully know and understand about their behaviors. But, well, you know, certainly with these individuals, after they were born, you know, in their respective places, they weren't born together in the same location. Mm-hmm. Their first year of migrating, they migrate south and they find an area that is sufficient for them somewhere mm-hmm. along the Gulf Coast that works for them. And they can spend that whole winter safely, happily and eating food. And so in the case of Monty and Rose, you know, both of them found areas that work for them, Rose in Florida and Monty in Texas. And so when they're done, you know, here in Chicago, they go back to those areas because that's what they know, they're familiar with. And, you know, it's sort of a if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we saw that as well with, for example, their babies from last year, their chicks from last year. They didn't all end up going to the same location. They dispersed from Chicago, went to different areas along the Gulf Coast. And some of them were not far from each other. But at that point, you know, they're out on their own. They're taking their winter vacation on their own.
So when do you expect the hatching or whatever the term is, when do you expect the new birds to arrive?
Yeah, well, they've been sitting on the nest for a couple of weeks now. It's probably going to mm-hmm. be a little while longer, but okay. Not too much, hopefully. Sometime in June, we're expecting to see the four eggs that are out there hatch and for little chicks to be running around on the beach.
And you're conducting I don't want to call it a contest or to name these chicks, right?
Yeah. So it's not so much a contest we're looking for ideas. We're looking for submissions. Cause you know, we're in a unique position where, because we mark these birds with little bands on their legs, we know these individuals. And so we know that, any birds that are born here, where they go, where they come, if they return. And so we want to be able to give them names to sort of go with them throughout their entire lives. And whether they go to Florida or come back to Chicago or land someplace else, anywhere in the Great Lakes, well, that's a name that will go with them that I can, you know, we can use to identify and track them throughout their life history and as they help grow the Great Lakes population. So, you know, these are uniquely Chicago birds. This is such a, you know, incredible opportunity here, not just for birds and bird enthusiasts and Montrose, but really for our whole city. It's truly a reflective success of how, you know, the environment has been a priority for us as a city so long. And I think this is really is a great capstone to that. And so I think it's really great to be able to share that opportunity with everybody. So anyone in the city of Chicago and even beyond can submit names that you think are, you know, appropriate and represent our city and these birds well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, we did this for the first time last year and we got well over 300 different names, which we then sorted through and kind of narrowed down to what we thought were really, you know, solid names that were respectful and interesting and told a story about, you know, what we thought really mattered to Chicagoans most. You know, everything from political figures to deep dish were thrown into the pot. I was partial to deep dish. The rest of the committee didn't go with me on it, but that, you know, at the end of the day, I think we came up with some really phenomenal names last year, and we're hoping to recreate that this year.
If I wanted to submit a name, if I wanted to submit a name, what do I do?
So all you got to do is go to Chicago pipingplovers.org. And we have a great blog there that gives real-time updates on what's happening with the birds. But there you will also find the form to submit your name.
Great. Awesome. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. And we will anxiously await the arrival of the new offspring. Have a great night. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.